Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Again, Erev Chodesh Tov. Welcome back, everyone, to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh class learning. I hope you are well and enjoyed a meaningful couple of weeks since we last met. So we thank, of course, our sponsor and her family very, very much. Tizkul Mitzos Olamayisim Tovim. This chos of these Devei Torah should bring you many Shabbosos. Spent besimcha, benachas, beravach, bebracha. For you and your whole family, Baruch Hashem. Okay, let's get right into our learning. So we are in the middle, I marked down exactly where we finished off. We are, of course, in our Sefer, Nefesh Shemshon Shabbos Kodesh. And the last thing we learned in the Sefer, if you remember, is that, let's say, a caterer, you know, no, Baron Rothschild comes to a caterer, and he says to the caterer, I want you to make me a wedding. So the caterer says, that's very nice, but I'm not Baron Rothschild. I can't afford to pay for your wedding for your daughter. So the Baron says, no, you fool, I want you to just to prepare the wedding because you're the caterer. I'm going to fund the wedding. It's my wedding. So Pinchas is telling us, we're up to in the Sefer, pages 64 through 65, that Hashem comes to us every week for Shabbos Kodesh. And Hashem says, we're having a wedding, me and the Kala. And I want you to make a wedding. So you say, I can't afford to make you a wedding. You're the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, you just prepare everything. I'm funding the wedding. It's my wedding with my beloved. Adi the Dodi with Dodi. And Rav Pinchas says, that's what happens on Shabbos. This is based on the Gemara Seches Beta Tazayin, that what a person spends for Shabbos does not come out of his pocket. Hashem foots the bill. Okay, that's where we are holding. Where we went from there in the Sefer is to a piece by Daniel Glatzin, and it is called Weekly Wedding. So when I found this in Mishpacha, if you recall, it was back in Shvat, February. I didn't know when we were going to learn it, but I knew it was going to come up in the Sefer. And then when we come up to Rav Pinchas speaks about the fact that Shabbos is a wedding that Hashem is paying for. He's hiring us to make his wedding. We went to his piece by Daniel Glatzin. I'm not going back through what we did again. I know exactly where we left off. However, he compares the three Shabbos tefillos to three different stages of marriage. So, and I'm not going through it again in detail, just to remind us where we are holding. The Friday night is the stage of Kiddushin, like the engagement or the betrothal, if you will. Shabbos morning is the stage of Nisuin, the actual marriage. And then Mincha is Yichud, okay, after the engagement. And then the ceremony of the marriage is the Yichud between the Chas and Kala, the husband and wife. And that's Mincha. It's the most intimate time between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's one opinion of the Avud Raham. The other opinion of the Avud Raham is that mid-Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Mincha represent three different times throughout the history of the world. Friday night represents Shabbos Maisa Bereishis, the Shabbos of creation. Shabbos morning represents the Shabbos of Matan Torah. And Mincha represents, V'ezras Hashem, Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha L'chaye Olamim. It will be the day that is Kulo Shabbos, which is B'yamos HaMashpiach. B'yamos HaMashiach. And then Rabbi Daniel Glatzin quoted the son of the Vilna Gaon, who shows that these are not really so different. It's not two different opinions, but rather they complement each other. So the stage of the engagement corresponds to Maisa Bereishis. The stage of the marriage corresponds to Matan Torah. And the Yichud corresponds to Yom Shekulo Shabbos Yimos HaMashiach. Okay, those are the three points that we did last time. Rabbi Daniel Glatzin, we're actually in the middle of learning from the Koren Siddur, if you recall. I even marked which page we are up to from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Livracha, commentary. And if you recall, this commentary really echoed and corresponded to, and they embellished each other, what the teachings of Rabbi Glatzin based on the Avud Raham, so too Rabbi Sacks similarly teaches with some added insight. So we are up to exactly where we are. I'm going to now begin, that's a recap, it was a 2-minute recap of what we did last time. I am beginning by quoting from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, who's actually quoting from the Mincha Tefillah on Shabbos afternoon. Okay, that's where we're up to. Now, in Mincha on Shabbos afternoon, what do we say? Now, by the way, I don't know if anyone thought of this, but I did. Okay, the last time we learned was 2 weeks ago, so we had two Shabbosos in between the last class, and I was thinking about it when I was davening Shemoneh Esrei. I hope somebody else was thinking to myself, okay, what Shabbos is this? I thought to myself, Friday night, this is a Shabbos of Maaseh Bereishis. Shabbos morning davening, Shachris, this is a Shabbos of Matan Torah. And if you haven't thought about it yet, it adds some depth to your Shabbos tefillos. Not just to sit here and learn, it's to apply your learning to enhance your Shmirah Shabbos and your Ahava Shabbos and our appreciation and understanding of Shabbos. So everything that we learn, I hope that somebody is applying it Be'ezras Hashem, many of us, I think, are applying it to our observance and our keeping Baruch Hashem of Shabbos. So what do we say in Mincha, in Shemona Esrei of Mincha? Okay, after the introductory three blessings of Shevach, which is the same for all Shemona Esrei always, and now we say, Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. You are one and your name is one. That's why this corresponds to the Yichud. In Yichud, who's there? Just a couple, just one. One plus one makes one in a marriage. One plus one does not make two. One plus one makes one. So who's in the Yichud ceremony? The one unit. So Ata Echa, that's what we say by Mincha. The Shimcha Echa. This also corresponds to Moshe Mashiach. V'haya b'yam hu yashem Echad u'shemo Echad. So the idea of oneness of the Mincha theme in Shabbos afternoon tefillah corresponds to both the Yichud between us and Hashem and the Moshe Mashiach, when Hashem's name will be one. Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad, you are one, your name is one. U'mika Amcha Yisrael, and who is like your nation of Israel? Goy Echad Bar, it's one nation on the earth. Tif'aras Gedula v'Ataras Yishua, these are all terms that describe glory and splendor, splendor of greatness and the crown of salvation. Yom Menucha Ukdusha la'amcha nasata, a day of rest and holiness to your nation you have given. Avram Yagel, Avram will rejoice, Yitzchak your name, Yitzchak will sing, Yaakov Uvanov, Yanuchu bo, Yaakov and his sons will rest in it. Menuchas ahava unadava, it is a rest of love and goodwill. Menuchas emes ve'amuna, it is a rest of truth and faith. Menuchas shalom, it is a rest of peace, v'shalva, tranquility, v'hashkid, and quiet, v'vetach, and trust. Menuchas shleim, a complete rest, she'ata rotzeba, that you desire in it. Yakiru v'necha v'yedu, that your children, meaning us, recognize and understand, ki mi'itcha hi menuchasam, from you, Hashem, is their rest. V'al menuchasam yakdishu ha'shemecha, and upon their rest, they should sanctify their name. Okay. Here we go. Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad, quoting from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. As mentioned before, says Rabbi Sacks, and it will be familiar to you as well, Shabbos is unique in that the central section of the evening, Arvis, morning, Shachris, and afternoon, Mincha, Amida, prayer, is different on each occasion. So in the three Shabbos tefillos, not like the weekday. The weekday, Shabbos, Shachris, Mincha, and Arvis, the tefillos are the same. On Shabbos, Arvis, Shachris, Mincha are very different. The Amida prayer is different in each occasion. There are three related explanations. Three explanations. One, the prayers chart the movement from creation, Bereishis, to revelation, Matan Torah, to redemption, Yemos HaMashiach. Okay, we understand that. Arvis, creation, Bereishis, Shachris, Matan Torah, revelation, Mincha, redemption, Yemos HaMashiach. That's one explanation for the differences. Second explanation, they speak of past, present, and future. What does that mean? We haven't heard this yet. This is Rabbi Sacks add this. Rabbi Glatzi does not quote this. We speak of past. In other words, we believe that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam before anything was in the world, and he has always been in the past. That's Arvis. Shachris, right now, in the here and now, I believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is controlling this world, even if we don't understand anything. He's controlling the world and he's in my life in the present. And then Mincha represents, as Rabbi Sacks, the future. Now, yes, you could show how, of course, they correspond to creation, revelation, and redemption, but he's giving it as a second key point. If you have the Koran Sacks Siddur, I'm on page 613. I thought, by the way, it was so funny when I was preparing that it's page 613, but it is, and nothing's an accident, so it's an extra sign from Hashem that we're in the right place. Okay, so they speak of past, present, and future. That's something else Shabbos should remind us of. That's, by the way, the four-letter name of Hashem. Haya Hove V'Yihya. Hashem is past, Hashem is present, Hashem is future. And that's part of the foundation of our belief. It's not enough to say, some people say, I know there's a God who created the world, but now he has something to do with the world. He created it then, he put an eye upon it, he's not involved. That's Hashem in the past. Of course Hashem is past, but it's also present, future. So that's the second Roman numeral, if you will, of the three Shabbos tefillos. And then thirdly, they describe three stages of a wedding, betrothal, rejoicing, and yichud, the coming together of the bride and groom to form one unit. The afternoon prayer fits this pattern closely. How so? So the afternoon prayer, Rabbi Sacks says, fits the pattern of redemption, future, and yichud. How so? The afternoon prayer, Mincha, fits this pattern. It speaks of redemption and the future, when Hashem shall be one and his name shall be one. As we said, where did I say it? It speaks of redemption and the future. And he says, Ata, because Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad is in the future. Because right now, We know that Hashem is one and His name is one, but the whole rest of the world does not know Hashem is one and His name is one. It speaks of the redemption future when God shall be one and His name one. And it speaks of Yichud, when the oneness of God enjoys the uniqueness of the Jewish people in perfect union. Shabbos is the time when the oneness of God and the uniqueness of the Jewish people form a perfect union. During the week, Sheishas Yamim Ta'asa Melacha, we're in the fields, we're harvesting, we're planting, not in that order. We're milking the cows, we're picking the fruit off the tree, we're grinding the wheat, we're going to the market, we're bartering eggs for oranges. During the week, it's very hard to feel the yichud with the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are so many things in our daily lives that pull us away from the recognition of the Yichud of Hashem that we should have with Him. But Shabbos is the opportunity to join the Ribbono Shel Olam in a perfect union. Because on Shabbos, we're not doing any of those things. It's just a time for us and our Father in Heaven and us and the Chasen Kala. The Medrash teaches, this is a beautiful Medrash. He doesn't say where the Medrash was from. I couldn't look it up. Rabbi Sacks quotes a beautiful Medrash. Hashem, Yisrael, now I know you think I'm going to say, and Yisrael Chadu. There's a different Medrash that says Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Oraisa, the Torah, and Kedisha Brichu, Hashem are all one. So one teaching is that Hashem, Bnei Yisrael, and Torah are one. That's also very true. But this Medrash teaches something else. God, Israel, and Shabbos testify to one another. God, Israel, and Shabbos. This is what the Medrash says. God and Israel, Hashem and Bnei Israel, testify to the holiness of Shabbos. So who are the witnesses to Kedusha Shabbos? Hashem and Bnei Israel testify to Kedusha Shabbos. Bnei Israel and Shabbos testify to the creative and redemptive power of Hashem. And Hashem and Shabbos testify to the uniqueness of Kaisa. So beautiful. It doesn't matter where it's from. I was not able to look it up. I obviously trust that this is very much a Medrash. It would be beautiful to see the source inside. But God, Israel, and the Shabbos testify to one another. So Hashem and Bnei Yisrael make a partnership, and Eidos, they are two kosher Eidim Ne'amanim, and Hashem and Bnei Yisrael come and they give testimony. There is a holiness to Shabbos. And then Bnei Yisrael and Shabbos come together, and they testify to the creative and redemptive power of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who proves that there's a God in the world? Shabbos and Bnei Yisrael. And finally, Hashem and Shabbos make a partnership as Eidim Ne'amanim, and they testify to the uniqueness of Bnei Yisrael. I thought it was a very, very, it is, not I think. The Medrash doesn't mean I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful Medrash that shows you how all three partners, Hashem, Shabbos, and Bnei Yisrael, form different partnerships, each partnership to testify to the beauty, the grandeur, the power, the emes of the other. Now, next point by Rabbi Sacks is also very beautiful. In this paragraph, something that I never noticed before, we have the word menucha 7 times. This is the Shabbos afternoon mincha prayer. It's interesting because we're davening mincha, and we speak about menucha, if you notice, it's the exact same shorash, 7 times. Listen, I'm not going to translate. I translated before. I'm going to go through it quickly. Count with me. Atachad v'shimcha echad, amikayim chayisoy goyachad ba'arz, tiferes gula v'teres tusha yom menucha, Ukdusha la amchanasata, Ave Megal Yitzhak Yiranin, Yaakov Vanov Yanuchuba, Yanuch is not counted, it's not Menucha. Menuchas Ahavonadava, by the way, I prepared this way, it's circled in purple, I'm just going through it with you. Menuchas Ahavonadava, Menuchas Ames Vamuna, Menuchas Shalom Vashava Vahashke Vavatach, Menucha Shlema Shatar Tseba, Yaku Venecha Viedu Ki Meit Chahi Menuchasam, Menucha Sam, Yekdusha Shemecha. 7 times. What is the significance of this? Even in this, there's significance. So Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, as the day reaches its greatest intensity, it's so interesting because I don't know if we tend to usually think of Mincha as the greatest, Mincha time as the greatest intensity of the day, but we're understanding that it is because Mincha time on Shabbos represents Yichud with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It represents the future, Hashem's name in the future, and it also represents Yemos HaMashiach. The greatest intensity, the greatest climactic holiness of Shabbos is by Mincha time. As the day reaches its greatest intensity, the emphasis shifts to the experiential quality of the day itself. The emphasis shifts to the experience the quality of the day itself. The word menucha, which we translate as rest or serenity, appears 7 times, Rabbi Sacks points out in this one paragraph. together with an idyllic description of the world at peace with itself. What is this paragraph speaking about? When the world is at peace, it will be menucha, k'tusha, la'am chanasatav. It will be, the forefathers will rejoice and they will sing. It will be a time of love and goodwill, truth and faith, peace, tranquility, quiet, security, a complete menucha. So he says that here, this seven times in one paragraph, it is a paragraph describing an idyllic description of a world at peace with itself, a rest of love and generosity, a rest of true faith, a rest of peace and tranquility, calm and trust. So what's the seven? We know that after the 6,000 years, Mashiach is going to come. I'm not an expert. I'm not even anywhere near qualified to speak about this at all. The Ramban speaks about by Ma'aseh Bereishis. We know that the 6 days of creation represent the 6 millennia of the world, and the seventh day of creation, which is Shabbos, represents the seventh time period, which will be Moshe Mashiach. So here, Rabbi Sacks says there are 7 menucha, 7 times that the word menucha is used, when we speak about in Mincha, which represents the Shabbos of redemption, which represents Achdus Hashem, which represents the Shabbos of the future. Therefore, it's not an accident that the word menucha occurs 7 times to allude to this journey when the world will be brought to full redemption. Sheishes Yimei Bereishis represent the 6,000 years of the world, and the seventh day, which is Shabbos, represents the future. That's exactly what mincha is. And how many times is, Rabbi Sacks points out, menucha used in this paragraph? 7. Because in the 7th time period of menucha, the world will be brought to its truest menucha, when everyone will recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avram Yagel, says Rabbi Sacks, Avram will rejoice. This is a reference to the future. And the patriarchs will rejoice that their descendants have found peace and that the day is Kula Shabbos. So this is a reference to the patriarchs. In the future, they will rejoice. Okay, let's go back to the Avud Raham. I actually do want to tell you something else from the Quran Sack Sitter, but I just want to finish the piece by Rabbi Gladstein first, okay? Because we did not finish the piece last time. We did 3 Nakudos by Rabbi Gladstein, and now we're going to complete the 4th. Here we go. The idea that Friday night, so now I'm going back to Rabbi Gladstein. The idea that Friday night and Shabbos, they are defined by 2 separate spiritual experiences, as we're understanding and they're learning, can be seen from various tefillos and zmiros that we recite. So the Friday night experience is the experience of bereishis and engagement. The Shabbos morning experience is the experience of matan Torah and the wedding with Hashem. We're no longer the engagement, we got married. Okay, the idea, and by the way, it's so appropriate, because next week is Shavuos, Ma'amaton Torah Seinu. And it's beautiful that Shavuos coincides with Shabbos, because the betrothal happened, the chuppah happened by Matan Torah. That is when the engagement went from the marriage, and the shtar, the ksuba, is the Torah itself. The idea that Friday night and Shabbos, they are defined by 2 separate spiritual experiences, can be seen, says Rabbi Gladstein, from various tefillos and zmiros that we recite. According to the Sifrei Kabbalah, Friday night is aligned with the feminine dimension, and Shabbos day is associated with the masculine dimension. So now we have another dimension to add it. However, we have 4 teachings as to the differences between the 3 tefillos. So now we have Friday night represents Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Kiddushin, the engagement, the past, and the feminine aspect or the feminine dimension. Whereas Shabbos morning represents Matan Torah, Nisuin, or the wedding, the betrothal, present, God in the present, and the male dimension. We see this in our davening, because if you look in, we haven't discussed this yet in this series that we're doing, but if you look on Friday night in the Arvis Tefillah, what do we say? If Friday night represents the female dimension, that's according to Kabbalah. When you look in the Friday night, what do we say? The Anuchu Va, Yisrael Makat Sheshemech, Ba, Beis Hei. V'anchein Hashem Elkeinei Ba'ava, Ratzon Shabbos Kodshecha, V'yanuchu Ba, Beis Hei. Yisrael Makat Sheshemech, what's Beis Hei? Feminine. So here we describe Shabbos as the feminine dimension. We are saying that we should rest in Shabbos, but Shabbos is described as V'yanuchu Ba, a feminine dimension, Friday night. Then we go to Shachris, and what do we say in Shachris Amida? V'anchilinu shamelkini ba'ahava uviratzon Shabbos kotshecha v'yenuchu bo beiz vav. It's the same words, except that what changed? The dimension. Friday night is v'yenuchu ba. We should dwell, we should rest, we should access the koach of Shabbos, represented as a feminine dimension. And Shabbos morning, we see the lashon changes, because Shabbos morning is now the male dimension. V'yenuchu bo Yisrael mekatshe shemecha. Furthermore, what do we say by mincha? Mincha brings everything together. V'yenuchu bam. Look in your sitter, you'll see. Arvis is v'yenuchu ba because it's a female dimension. Shabbos morning is v'yenuchu bo because it's the male dimension. And mincha in the afternoon is v'yenuchu bam, beis mem, because it's everything that comes together. So now let's go back to Rabbi Glatstein. Okay? According to the Sufrei Kabbalah, Friday night is aligned with the feminine dimension. I just showed it to you in the davening. While Shabbos day is associated with the masculine dimension, v'yenuchu bo. He doesn't mention mincha, but it's very clear, and you'll see it if you look in your sitter and pay attention when you're done. I really hope these two classes are going to enhance our appreciation of the Shabbos Tfilos. And your davening, Arvah Shachus and Mincha, has much more meaning to you. I hope. That's the point. You connect more with the Kochos and the spirituality and the Ruchnis of Shabbos and the Ribbon Shalom. That's the whole point. Further, we know that the word Shamar, okay, when the Aseret HaDibros were given, next week we're going to read the Aseret HaDibros. That's a Kriyas HaTorah for Shavuos. So, when the Torah was given in Parshas Yisro, Perek Chaf Pasuk Chas, the Pasuk says Zachor Shama Shabbos Akacho in the Eschanan, when Moshe repeats Aseret HaDibros, they weren't given two times, but when he repeats Aseret HaDibros in the Eschanan Perek Hei V'Devar, he says Shamar Shama Shabbos Akacho. So we know Zachor V'Shamar Nemer B'Dibur Achad. But what is represented in Zachor and Shamar? It's two different aspects of keeping Shabbos. So now, let's understand. Shamar alludes to the Torah's negative commandments. Everyone uses it. I don't particularly love the word negative commandments because it has a negative connotation. Shamar means do not transgress the lo tase. So, lo saviru eish v'chamash v'sechem b'yom ha-Shabbos. Ayaka perik lamed hei shamos. Lo saviru eish v'chamash v'sechem b'yom ha-Shabbos is a lo sase of Shabbos. Any lo sase of Shabbos thou shalt not transgress falls under the category of shamar yom ha-Shabbos kacha. Whereas Zachor Shem HaShabbos Kacho refers to, he writes the positive commandments, but all the ase. I know everyone says positive, negative. I'm just saying it doesn't sit so well with me personally. It's my own mishagas, if you will, even though the whole world uses it. And there's nothing wrong with it. If our great Rabbanim use it, just because it sounds like there are negative commandments. Negative has a negative connotation. But Shamar is associated with mitzvahs lo sa'ase. Do not do tochein, do not do borer, do not light a fire, do not do shechita on Shabbos. Zachar is associated with the ase. You shall remember Shabbos. You shall honor Shabbos with kisus and tefillah and ochal and yayin. And Zachar is what you shall do to honor Shabbos, mitzvahs ase. Shamar is lo tase, what you shall not do on Shabbos. Okay, so Shamar... So that's first of all. Shamar, lo sase. Zachar, ase. Women are obligated in all lo tase mitzvos. In other words, any lo tase, we have to keep that. We cannot light a fire on Shabbos. We cannot cut the vegetables very, very teeny. We cannot do bishul on Shabbos. We are obligated in any lo sase mitzvah, but we are exempt from many ase mitzvos. Any mitzvos ase shos man grama, the women are exempt from. So now, this explains why we say shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad on the chadodi on Friday night. Listen, thinking caps. Friday night is associated with the female aspect of Shabbos. Shamar is speaking about lo tase mitzvos. Women, female, are obligated in all lo tase mitzvos. So Friday night has the koach of shamar, Yom HaShabbos Kacho, because it's the lo tase, it's the female dimension of Shabbos. Females are obligated in all lo tase. What do we say first in Kabbalah Shabbos? Shamar v'zachar. Why shamar first? Because Friday night comes before Shabbos day. Shamar is lo sase mitzvos. Shamar is applicable to all women, nekevos. Shamar is the female aspect of Shabbos. Friday night is the female aspect of Shabbos. Zachar, on the other hand, is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, is associated with mitzvos ase. Shabbos morning is associated with many, with the male dimension. Women are potter from many mitzvos ase. Therefore, Shabbos morning is Zachar, the male dimension. And that's why in the Chaladodi we say Shamar v'Zachar b'dibur echad. Shamar comes first because Friday night Lo tase comes, female dimension comes before Shabbos morning. Mesos ase, male dimension. Therefore, shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. Many ask why we reverse shamar v'zachar from the way it appears in the Torah. What does that mean? In Parshas Yisro, the first Aseres HaDibros, Zachar comes first. In Parshas Vashchanan, the second set of the Aseres HaDibros, there's not really two sets of Aseres HaDibros, the second time it appears, Shamar comes. So in the Torah, what will you encounter first? Zachar. And what will you encounter second? Shamar. So why in Lechadodi do we put Shamar before Zachar? We switch it. We take from Vashchanan before Yisro, but in the Torah, Yisro comes way before Vashchanan. He quotes Rav Avadia Yosef, Chacham Rav Avadia Zatzal, who answers that since we recite the Chadodi on Friday night, which is characterized by the female dimension, therefore we put Shamar first, because Shamar is the female dimension. Shamar is Kmitzos Los Asei. The Kevas are obligated in all Mitzvos Los Asei. Therefore, says Rav Avadia, Shamar comes before Zachar in the Chadodi. Similarly, in the Zemer of Kol Mekadesh Shvi'i, we mentioned the Zemer the other week, someone took it up. It's a very, very beautiful Zemer, Kol Mekadesh Shvi'i, which is sung on Friday night, which we sing at our Shabbos table. I don't know if you sing in years. It's very, very beautiful. We find the phrase, Shamar Lekadsho Mimbo Vad Seso. So in the Friday night Zemers, we speak about Shamar, we guard Shabbos, Lekadsho, to sanctify it, Mimbo, from when it comes in, Vad Seso, Friday night, Shamar. Female aspect of Shabbos, according to Kabbalah. Mitzvahs lo sa'asei. Conversely, on Shabbos day, we emphasize the Zachar theme. When do we emphasize the Zachar theme? Both in Kiddush, Zachar Yom HaShabbos Kacho, as well in the Zemer, Baruch Kel Elyon, where we recite Zachar Yom HaShabbos Kacho. So Shabbos morning is associated with Zachar, Mitzvahs asei, male dimension, and we tie that into the Tefillah. You see it very clearly. You're going to pay attention tonight. You're going to say tonight, V'yanuchu ba. That's a mitzvah of Shamar. That's the female dimension. That's mitzvah lo sase. Shabbos morning, you're going to say v'enuchu bo, which is Zachar, male dimension of Shabbos, mitzvah ase. Beautiful. Okay, we finished the piece by Rabbi Gladstein. I'm just going to conclude this section with going back to quoting one more piece by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs in the Koren Sachs Sitter. Good morning. Here we go. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, I'm quoting from the Koren Sachs Sitter. He's talking about the Kapitel Tzadi Beis, which we recite multiple times in our Shabbos davening, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, a Mizmor and a Shir, song and a song. In Lashon HaKodesh, so many words cannot really be exactly translated into English. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, a song of a song to the day of Shabbos. Tov lo dos Hashem. It is good to praise Hashem, to give thanks to Hashem. Ulezamer leshimcha elyon, and to sing to His exalted name. Algiba boker chastacha. Say this Friday night in our davening. We say in Kabbalah Shabbos. We say in the morning in the Pesukei Dizermas. And this is the Shir Shayam. Wait a minute, the Shir Shayam. So here we go. So it's said multiple times on Shabbos day. On Shabbos, lagig baboker chastacha, to tell in the morning of your kindness, amunascha balelus, and your amuna at night. Let's go. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, it's chapter 92 of Tehillim, Kapitel Tzadi Beis. A song for the Sabbath day. This psalm, this kapitel, sung by the Levim on Shabbos. That's why it is the Shir Shem of Shabbos. This is the Shir that the Levim sang in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Was already understood by the sages as a song for the time to come. It is a song for the day that will be all Shabbos and rest and life everlasting. So the sages understand that this kapitel, which was sung by the Levim, which we incorporate into our Shabbos davening, is really referring to Yemos HaMashiach. That's Chazal. It's a song for the time to come. A song for the day that will be all Shabbos and rest and everlasting life. Says Rabbi Sachs, Shabbos is not merely a day of rest. Is that all Shabbos is? Shabbos can be Baruch Hashem, I can take a nap. That's what Shabbos is. And now there's so many hours to Shabbos day. Shabbos starts so late. I have such a long Friday. I have such a long Shabbos. That's what the point of Shabbos is. It feels like in the winter, everything is rushed. Erev Shabbos is rushed because Shabbos is like at 4 o'clock. And Shabbos is rushed because by the time you finish the lectern, it's time for Mincha and Shal Shittis. And now I have time to rest. That's what the point of Shabbos is. That's what we're waiting for, to take a nap. Shabbos is not merely a day of rest. It is a rehearsal. It is a rehearsal within time for the age beyond time. Rabbi Sachs was not only a brilliant thinker and scholar and dignitary, but he is also such a powerful orator and writer. His writing's poetic. Shabbos is not merely a day of rest, it is a rehearsal. A rehearsal within time for the age beyond time. And that's so beautiful. So beautiful. Shabbos is a day of rehearsal within time for the age beyond time. What is the age beyond time? When humanity, guided by the call of God, moves beyond strife, moves beyond evil, and moves beyond oppression. Can we imagine such a world? It's so challenging to envision such a world. When humanity, which will be guided by the call of God, will move beyond strife, beyond machlokas, beyond evil, beyond rishos, beyond oppression, beyond servitude, to create a world of harmony. That's what Shabbos teaches us now. Shabbos, every single week we access this. Every single week we access a day which is beyond strife, beyond evil, beyond oppression. And we create a world of harmony. That's what will be B'Yemos HaMashiach. Respecting the integrity of creation as God's works and the human person as God's image. That's what Shabbos is meant to teach us. We are rehearsing for the age beyond time, but we will all be guided by the call of God. And that's what we have to implement every single week. We have to move beyond strife. Not only say, oh, B'Yemos HaMashiach, we want to have strife. No, every single Shabbos. In fact, I just saw it somewhere else. It's a very famous teaching. And the Pasuk says, Lo saviru esh b'chamash v'sechem b'yom HaShabbos. I quote it in a paraglamet, hey, of Shemos, you should not kindle a fire in all your dwelling places on Shabbos. I don't remember where, I just read it again. So I don't remember the source. It means, do not light the fire of anger in all your dwelling places on the Shabbos day. We shouldn't just wait for Yemos HaMashiach to say it'll be a day of tranquility. Make every single Shabbos this image. What is the image of every weekly Shabbos? Move beyond strife. Move beyond evil and oppression. Create a world of harmony. Respect the integrity of creation, because Shabbos represents creation. Respect the integrity of creation as Ma'aseh Bereishis, as Hashem's work. And also, respect the human person in God's image. At that time, people looking, in other words, B'Yemos HaMashiach, when this comes to fruition, not only for us on Shabbos, for the entire world. The world has been in a state of such strife and evil and oppression for so many millennia. It's such a dream to imagine, Hayinu Kacholmim, that there's a world beyond, that there's a world and a time beyond time that will not be like this anymore. At that time, people looking back at history will see that though evil flourished like grass, it was short-lived. He's quoting from the Kapitel, Bifroach Rishaim Kemo Esev, when the wicked sprouted just like grass. In other words, in this time, the wicked sprout like grass. It was short-lived, while the righteous slowly grew and stand tall like the cedar of Lebanon. Where is it? Bifroach Rishaim Kemo Esev. This pasuk describes that the wicked flourish like grass, that all doers of iniquity are sprouting, but lihishamadam adei od. They may sprout now, but ultimately they will be destroyed forever and ever. However, what about the tzaddik? Tzaddik katamar yifrach, ke'erez balavona niske. On the other hand, the righteous flourish now, in this epoch of time, but they flourish like grass, but it is only so ultimately God will destroy them forever and ever, whereas the tzaddik katamar yifrach, the tzaddik will flourish like a palm tree. Ke'era is like a cedar, balavona niska. Like a cedar, he will grow tall in the levona. So Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, in that end of days, in that epoch of history, which is the end of history, people will look back and see that though evil flourished like grass, kemo esev, it was short-lived. Lishamadam adayad. Ultimately, God will destroy them forever, all of our enemies. While the righteous grow slowly but stand tall, like the cedar of Levonan, ke'eres b'Levonan niska, because our time perspective is short, says Rabbi Sacks. He himself was never, I think he was only 72 years old. Our time perspective is so short. And therefore, when we look at the world, we think that we inhabit a world in which evil prevails. That's all we see. I shouldn't say that's all we see. Much of what we see is that evil prevails in this world. Were we able to see history as a whole, like we will be able to see in the Shabbos that is Kula Yom Shabbos Umnucha Lechaye Olamim, we would know that good wins the final victory. In the long run, justice will prevail. That is what this kapitel, which was sung by the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, which we incorporate into our Kabbalah Shabbos and into our Shabbos morning davening. Ultimately, in the end of days, good wins the final victory. In the long run, justice prevails. So we finish this beautiful piece on weekly wedding by by Daniel Glotstein, based on the Avudraham, with further commentary by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. With that, we now go back to our Sefer. So we are on page 64 of our Sefer. Okay? And what we're describing is this wedding. And so I'm just going to go to the middle of page 64, read through it very quickly to recap. Because when we don't meet for a few weeks and then we're not in the Sefer, we're not sure where we're up to. Let's go. Middle page 64. Quickly. Let us illustrate this principle with an allegory about the wealthy, legendary Baron Rothschild. One fine day, the Baron approaches a caterer and he says to him, "In 1 month, I'm making a wedding for my only daughter. I want it to be an unforgettable evening. The reception must be exquisite as befits Baron Rothschild. I want you to cater." "I'm very honored," said the man. He stammers, "I don't think it's within my means to throw such a lavish affair." "Do you think the expense is on your bill?" replied the Baron. "Surely not. Buy whatever you need. Go to the butchers, the fish stores, the bakery, select the finest delicacies. Make special orders if necessary. Put everything on my bill. Prepare a sumptuous meal for which you will be handsomely rewarded. But do not forget, you are not paying for anything. So don't scrimp on anything. This is my banquet, the banquet of Baron Rothschild." Says Rav Shimshon Pikus, last line on page 64. On Erev Shabbos. Today's Erev Shabbos. Many of us do our shopping on Yom Chamishi. We begin cooking on Yom Chamishi, maybe. And Erev Shabbos, today, yes, the days are much longer. We have much more time till Shabbos comes. But I think we're accustomed from the short Shabbos that I don't think anyone, I don't know. Most people, I don't think, leave everything till Friday. On Erev Shabbos, Yom Chamishi, Yom Shishi, Hashem turns to every Jew and he says, "Tomorrow's my day. You are my guest," top of page 65. "I'm asking you to be my caterer. Keep in mind that all the meals on this day are my meals. Prepare them accordingly." The Jew replies, "But I don't think I can manage to prepare a meal befitting of the King of the Universe." Hashem answers, "I don't mean you should pay. I will pay myself. You just go buy whatever you want. Borrow on my account and I will pay." I mentioned this a couple of classes ago, and I'm happy that Rav Pinchas now writes it here. I said a couple of weeks ago that we have to have seichel when we do this. It doesn't mean, I don't think, that a person could spend $50,000 every Shabbos and then say, "Hashem, it's on your bill and buy whatever you want." Well, that's exactly what Pinchas says. So even though Hashem says it's on my bill, we do have to do it b'seichel. And this isn't a, what's the word I'm looking for? Free pass to go break the bank. And so it is. We can splurge on Shabbos even if our finances are tight. However, a person must establish a practical framework within which to fulfill this mitzvah, since ultimately there is no end to what one can buy and one can bake. So if there's a roast in the store, you know, that costs 300, I've seen them before the Yom Tov and Kol HaKavod to those who buy them, $400 for a standing rib roast, I don't know, a whole rack. But for you, beyond your means is buying the $50 roast. And the $500 roast is not within a practical framework. I just don't want anyone to say that we learned here, that based on the Gemara, the Avudraham, everything that we learned from a Pinchas, well, therefore you could spend whatever you want. That's not exactly what it means. So please use your seichel. But if you see something that's a little bit more expensive than you would usually buy, you should buy it in honor of Shabbos. Like, I'll give you an example. This week I was in Brooklyn. I was speaking in Brooklyn Wednesday morning, and I didn't know, my son's friend who goes to Yeshiva in Brooklyn mentioned that there is a sesame, you know, the bakery sesame? They're famous for their Hanukkah donuts. They have pop-up shops by Hanukkah time. There's a sesame just three short flatbush blocks away from where I was teaching. So I said, I didn't know that. So I went there. I wanted to see. He said they have sandwiches, they have salads. I didn't know. There was one right there. So cool. So it was a very, very long day. I was going straight from teaching at Flatbush to teaching at Atlantic Beach. Lots of driving in the car, whatever. I bought a beautiful salad, grilled vegetable salad. It was gorgeous. I had 2 scoops of tuna. Okay. But then I was there, and I knew my family would enjoy. And I saw everything looked so delicious. So I also bought a babkan cinnabons, the covered Shabbos kosher. When it came, I put it in the freezer. I said, this is for Shabbos. That's what Rav Pinchas is explaining the Gemara means. If you see something special in the store that's more than you would normally spend, let's say you usually bake a cake. To bake your own cake, to bake your own chocolate chip squares, it costs very little money. To buy a babkan cinnabons in a nice bakery is more than you would usually spend. But if you have the intention that I'm buying this for Shabbos, and it is within a practical framework, and it honors the Shabbos, that's what we mean. So it's just my example. You could have your own example. It does not mean you could buy the $500 rose, the $50 is beyond your means. So everyone should just be seichodek, but on the other hand, don't scrimp, don't be stingy. This is Hashem's day and it's Hashem's bill. The Gemara tells us that clearly. Because, as mentioned, however, says Reb Pinkas, a person must establish a practical framework within which to fulfill this mitzvah, because truly there's no end to that which can be bought and baked. The Mishnah Brura says, he doesn't quote where the Mishnah Brura says it, which is very unusual, because usually the Sefer has all the footnotes of the original sources, which I do try and look out for you. The Mishnah Brura says, one should not borrow on Hashem wildly. The Mishnah Brura says, he puts borrow on Hashem in quotes. Pinkas, not me. The Mishnah Berurah says one should not borrow on Hashem wildly, lest he ultimately transgress the laws of financial honesty. So it is codified as halacha, that you do have to be careful with the halacha. So the halacha is you should spend beyond your means for Shabbos. But the other halacha balances out and says don't go crazy, because then you are transgressing the laws of financial honesty. You're not being financially honest. So we should try and fit this into our Shabbos preparation. Buy something nicer in the store. Buy a treat for your family. Buy something special in the bakery. Buy a nicer piece of meat. Buy something that's better, the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. Be responsible. We should not only be responsible, you're actually transgressing laws of financial honesty. We just had in Parshas Behar last week, in the first Sedra of last week, it was Behar B'chukozai. We had the laws of Ona'as Mamon. We had the laws of Ona'as Mamon in last week's Sedra. You're not allowed to financially oppress. You're not allowed to pay with interest. You're not allowed to borrow with interest. You're not allowed to charge too much. You're not allowed to undercharge. You have to be financially honest. So this is the flip side of buy whatever you want for Shabbos. We should not buy things beyond our lifestyle, says Reb Pinkas. After he teaches us you should spend for Shabbos, you should not buy things beyond your lifestyle. You should not act as if you were really commissioned by Baron Rothschild. He puts it in italics. You were not really commissioned by Baron Rothschild. The main thing is to know you're preparing everything for Hashem. That's what you have to know. He ordered the meal. Therefore, says Reb Pinkas, try to compliment him as best you can. So we should try every week to have something special. So for the first last class on the whole beginning of this year should enhance our tefillos. This should enhance your spending of Shabbos. You should know that you should buy something special. I don't know, buy special candy for the kids, whatever it is. Buy something special for your table that you wouldn't normally buy. But understand that it has to be within reason, but you're complimenting Hashem. Just like everything needs a balance. One pocket says, Anochi Afra Ve'Ifra. The other pocket, everyone quotes this. Rav Soloveitchik quotes it from the Kotzker Rebbe. One pocket says, Anochi Afra Ve'Ifra. I'm dust and ashes. I'm nothing. I'm a piece of dust. I'm a worthless speck in the universe. Other says, Bishvili Nivra Olam. I'm amazing. I'm the best thing since Adam. The whole world was created for me. What do you need? You need a little bit of both. You need a lot of humility, and you also need a healthy sense of God put me here for a purpose. So it's the same thing. I think that's a good analogy. You have two pockets. One pocket says, spend whatever you want for Shabbos. The other pocket says, whoa, you can't afford that. What should you do? Find the Shvil Hazahav. Go on the middle road, buy the babka and the cinnabuds from Sesame, because you know your family. When I told them, they were so excited. One said, yeah, and one said, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward. I don't buy their donuts on Hanukkah. If you do enjoy, call a kavod, but I knew that they would be happy with this. So that's what it means. Two pockets. One pocket says, I'm paying the bill. You're not paying the bill. Make a wedding for Baron Rothschild. The other pocket says, be careful with your credit card. Which one is it? Both. Find the Shvil HaZahav. And when you sit down to your Shabbos meal, you should enjoy that special item that was there for Shabbos. And make sure you tell your family, I bought this in honor of Shabbos. Normally we wouldn't have it, but since this is Hashem's meal and the Ribbono Shel Olam is our guest, therefore I have this on table. Not for the guests who come to your table, you should honor them. Also, I bought this for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because he is in our home. This is Yichud. It's us, the Chas and Kala, together. Just like in the Yichud room, the Chasen gives the Kala a gift. We have a gift. What's a gift? This beautiful meal for Shabbos. Interestingly, 9:44. Oh, okay. The same applies to how we dress for Shabbos. When a person looks to his wardrobe, trying to decide what to wear for a certain occasion, he takes into account whose company he will be in. That's certainly true. You don't dress the same when you go to a wedding or when you go to a casual brunch at your friend's house at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Most people do not dress the same. There are standards. And you don't look the same when you go to two different events. I don't know if you're invited to, I never was, but if you're invited to something at the White House, first of all, if you even want to go, but if you're invited to something at the White House, you're not going to look the same when you go to the White House, I hope. I hope it's just not bakavada. As when you go, I don't know, for your fast walk in the morning. You take into account whose company you will be in. If he's amongst very distinguished people, he's going to dress accordingly. If he realizes he only has tatters and an important occasion is coming up, what are you going to do? Should I buy a new outfit? When a chasana comes, generally we buy a new outfit, because why? You want to look bekavadik for the occasion. So too it is with Shabbos. I know the time, especially this class, because it's Erev Shabbos, I really don't go over. But we should keep in mind who, capital W, we are dressing up for. On Shabbos, we're Kohanim. We're ministering angels before Hashem. We must be in dignified priestly garments. So does clean, you should go buy, I don't know, what's the most expensive designer name? A $5,000 robe for Shabbos? If that's beyond your means, well, because that's a pocket that says, be careful. But the other pocket says, buy a little bit beyond your means, because Shabbos is coming, and you should look, because look at the Shabbos table for the guest who is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when you dive in the Shabbos, and if you've done your grocery shopping already, then when you prepare for Shabbos, keep in mind the things that we learned. It should change your tefillos. It should change the way we shop and cook for Shabbos. And ultimately, it should change our relationship with Shabbos. Remember, Klal Yisrael and Hashem testify together to Kedushas Shabbos. And Shabbos testifies to the eternity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful, beautiful, uplifting Shabbos. Be'ezras Hashem, Shabbat Chodesh Tov, and a wonderful Yom Tov. A wonderful Yom Tov. Kol Tov. Thank you so much.